This podcast is not intended to be a scholarly or authoritative source. Never Have Y'all Ever is an entertainment podcast that explores Texas culture, history, and subcultures through personal experiences and opinions. We encourage listeners to conduct their own research, consult reliable sources for historical or cultural information. Giddy up. Let's get into it.
Now, they say everything's bigger in Texas. That's true, but what about the stores, the one we all knew?
We're here today.
We've gathered here today.
All right. Giddy up.
He's going to get it one of these days.
Yes.
Second day on the job.
But in the meantime, it's been great.
Giddy up.
All right.
So today's topic is our first actor.
Yes.
Of course, there's lots of actors and actresses, a lot of talent out of the great state of Texas. Some of them so notorious for being Texan, like McConaughey,
right,
for sure. Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, I mean. But then there's some that might surprise listeners. And actually, our first one, you might think would have been Matthew McConaughey, but it's not. It's going to be Woody Harrelson, which happens to be one of Lockhart's faves, if not favorite.
I get giddy over him.
He's pretty amazing.
He's
just
amazing.
And such a wild individual.
Oh, and just
to kind of unpack.
Yes. Like, I'm so here for this. You have no idea.
I'm excited. All right, let's jump right into it. So, from your hometown, born in Midland, Texas.
He was born in Midland. See, so you already know he's a great guy.
Great guy. Woody Harrelson was born in the oil-rich West Texas town of Midland on July 23rd, 1961. Same town George W. Bush once called home, and same town as our beautiful co-host Lindsay Lockhart.
Thank you.
His dad, this takes a turn. His dad was a hitman. In true Texas noir fashion, Woody's father, Charles Harrelson, Charles Harrelson, was a contract killer who was convicted of murdering a federal judge in San Antonio in 79, the first federal judge assassinated in the 20th century. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I actually learned this a couple years ago, and honestly, just on the fringe. Like, it was kind of one of those things that I was like, is that true?
Yeah.
You know, and then, but wow.
You know, it's funny because, so I did not know that about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in true podcast form was like, hey, I just got done listening to something, and it's called Son of a Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought to mention it to me because of Midland. And then it turns out that it's Woody Harrelson, which was a double whammy.
Right.
So I was like, I gotta listen to this, which was really funny because I, leaving Midland one time and driving back to Fort Worth, I mean, I literally just binged the whole thing. It's wildly interesting.
So it's a documentary.
It's, yeah, a podcast, yes. Over his dad. And his brother is a part of it, and he's not on it, but it talks about the history, his dad. I really, really would have, I wish I could have met his dad. I know that sounds.
Does it dive into maybe the kind of dad he was, though?
Yeah, it does, which clearly wasn't really the best. And
I don't see, because my thought went to, like, if he got, like, his aggressions out, mm-hmm, he might come home like a really nice.
Yeah, that.
Adjusted person.
You're so optimistic. That was cute.
I'm just kidding.
They need to make a movie off of it, is what they actually need to do. It's a good one to listen to. It's incredibly gripping. But it also talks about, you know, him trying to help his dad out, trying to get out of you know, prison. I mean, he was in the Megamax, you know, prison, and it's great. It's great to listen to. But I hate that sometimes that his dad's history is so synonymous with his own, because he has such, you know, a huge, you know, list of credits and accomplishments of his own. But damn, is his family history
pretty wild.
One of the coolest, I think.
Does
I've
it talk
ever
about his mom?
To. You know, no, it mentions her that, like, here and there, but it doesn't really dive into his mom.
And Woody's personality, like his true character, is so kind of just like, he definitely does not live by the rules,
no,
you know, but he's just seems like just such a sweet, like, kind of charismatic, piss in the wind, just type of cool guy.
You know, like, yeah. And I think that what's really interesting about him,
though,
pissing
the wind was probably not the best way to describe someone.
To what?
Does that matter? Go on.
I think that one of the things that is interesting about him, too, I just find him very multifaceted. Mm-hmm. By that, I mean, it's like the guy just has so many pieces to him. And I sure. love that when it comes to there's so many, and it's just one container of a human. And I mean, the guy went to college on a full ride scholarship to a Presbyterian. I think it's a Presbyterian college. I mean, he was in the same class as Mike Pence, the former VP.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, maybe
so,
I did.
Yeah. So because he was really thinking about going into theology and then, you know, clearly took off in a totally different direction, which is sure. how we know him and why we love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this next fact, he studied theater in Indiana. Was that? Maybe. No. Okay.
I don't think so.
He studied theater at Indiana, but his big break came on Cheers, while the sitcom. While not Texas specific, his wholesome small town persona on Cheers was a sharp contrast to his real Texas roots, which were full of grit and a complicated family legacy.
Yeah.
What you were just talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely where I first remember seeing Woody, was on Cheers. Like my mom watching Cheers.
Yes.
And seeing him as the little sweet bartender that,
he was,
you know,
so sweet.
Just kind of simple guy.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And what a break. I mean, that show.
Know. Yeah. He got
That's like
that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like getting a break on Seinfeld or Friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's huge.
Yeah. And I can't remember. He replaced Coach. who was previously there in his role. I think he passed away. And then Harrelson actually stepped in to replace him. And he did a hell of a job.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think if memory serves me right.
So I still am. My favorite show of all time is Frasier, which
oh,
is
nice.
The spinoff
yes, yes,
of
yes.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an episode where Woody comes to visit Frasier in Seattle.
Really?
And it's hilarious because they come together and they are so excited to see each other because
yes.
of their friendship and their past.
Yes.
And then they actually hang out and they're like, I actually don't like you. And then like mutually just
that's
like, you know,
amazing.
What? Like we've done our,
oh,
our
yeah.
part.
We've
like
done
we
yeah.
saw each other. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, we go our separate ways. It's awesome.
Man. You know, it's funny. One of the first places that I had to go visit in Boston was Cheers.
Oh, yeah. I've been there, too.
I have
a shot glass from it.
Yeah. Yes. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
A tiny, tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of the first
and
things
And it's over.
List.
It seems that the real one where they shot is not actually in Boston proper. It's over like in Brookline area or something.
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
Because they have like a pop-up one downtown that's like a replica
yeah.
of the set. But
yeah.
the real place where they shot was
this,
like...
This was the OG.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
So,
yeah.
I'll
that's
go,
cool.
I'll
I've been
with
there too.
On that, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so no surprise here, he's pals with Willie Nelson. Woody and Texas legend Willie Nelson are longtime friends and marijuana advocates. They've played music. They've played music, they've golfed and blazed trails, literally, together. Woody even says he quit smoking pot until Willie peer pressured him back into it. I 100% believe that. I've seen
too.
Willie out smoke like Snoop Dogg.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I believe that is true. I have no doubt. But
yeah. You know, he was always a huge, you know, advocate, you know, of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, long before, you know, it was even thought about, you know, using it for medicinal purposes, and I think that he became a real champion for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him for it. I mean, I'm a pothead by no means, nor
mm-mm.
have I ever
I'm
been.
Not cool enough,
but I just
know.
Always thought it was so funny that he really wanted to buck the system,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that.
Yeah.
Which at the time when he was doing all of that, I was young. I didn't realize that he was also from West Texas.
Yeah.
I thought here's this Hollywood guy that really
sure.
likes to, you know, smoke some bud. And, you know, is doing his best, you know, to kind of make it a movement. And I do think that he was really on the forefront of that.
Well, and I do still, as more and more states are legalizing it, I still think Texas, maybe next to Alabama, will be dead last.
Yeah.
I just do,
yeah.
unfortunately.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do.
I do know, what did you say? Quit smoking pot, Willie... Don't remember. Lost it. Played music, golfed, and blazed together. Well, it's gone. It'll come back.
Okay.
It's that ADHD.
Oh, you're good.
Circle.
No, no, no.
right, Milan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
He also starred in True Detective, set in South. Actually, I want to come back. I remember. See, there it is. The next role I saw him in that blew my mind. My brother used to watch this movie, Natural Born Killers.
Oh God.
With Juliette Lewis.
Oh my God.
Oliver Stone.
Oh yeah.
Movie. Unreal. Talk about tech, like noir, like the way it was shot.
Yep.
And just Juliet and Woody are too good at what they do. Like, it was so believable. Right now I'm getting goosebumps.
Me too.
And I haven't seen it in 20 years.
It's so I actually pulled up a little bit of it the other day, kind of doing a little bit of research for this. And she's amazing.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
And those two just were so feeding off each other and just raw. And like, mm-hmm. it is the performance of their lifetimes. Well, I know that they've been in so much and they've done a lot that's just insane. But like, it's incredible.
It's incredible. And I had known him from Cheers. So of course, then I see Natural Born. I'm like, Woody.
I know. What happened? I know. Like, what happened?
This is coming to naturally, Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
But yes, so that was one of the things I thought about coming up to this episode. Yes. Like, that movie it's like a core memory of my childhood. Honestly, my child, like, we watched it in the 90s whenever it came out, probably 95.
Yeah.
We'll have to check that fact. But wow, what a movie.
I think that one too is about to get its credit again with this next generation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's yet a cult classic, mm-hmm. because I genuinely don't think it's had just enough time for mm-hmm. it to circulate back around. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's about to pop back up and be very prevalent.
Well, and we have to check the fact on this, but I want to say not necessarily the violence in that movie, because clearly there's lots of movies with lots of violence, but the way it was shot, the romanticizing, like literally the artistic way that the noir way it was shot, it's so impactful. It's actually illegal in some countries.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Like, outlawed. Like, you cannot watch it there because it's just so impactful. That's not the right word. It's so strong. It's just, and so dark.
I did not know that. Yeah. I mean, I don't argue with that, but the fact that, it's illegal is pretty, it's impressive.
I will have to check that, but
that
I'm pretty sure.
That would make me want to watch something more, mm-hmm. you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah.
Okay. So next, he starred in True Detective, set in South Louisiana, but inspired by Texas noir. The first season of True Detective set in Louisiana, has deep Texas literary roots. Creator Nick Pizzolatto credits Texas authors like Cormac McCarthy and Joe R. Lansdale as inspiration, and Woody's performance is peak Southern Gothic. Now, I didn't watch True Detective, but you were a huge fan.
Absolutely obsessed with
it. I've certainly heard of it.
It's so good. It's one of those where each season is its own, mm-hmm. but Woody and Matthew McConaughey mm-hmm. started this thing off, and the standard could not have been set higher. They're incredible. I mean, the comedic relief between the two as well.
Yeah.
There's this one scene that makes me laugh so hard because they are just at this point of absolute contempt with one another. And McConaughey flips him off the bird just silently, just straight to his face. And I mean, we've all been there, but uh-huh. I mean, it just, I don't know. I just wish I would almost give a kidney to have been on that set between the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really that good.
Well, I wonder if he was with, hearkening back.
Because we like to hearken on this podcast.
To him and Willie and music and golf. I wonder if he was with McConaughey when McConaughey was caught naked with the bongos. Was him that was caught naked with the bongos, or was
100%.
Yes. I wonder if Woody was with him.
You know, no, partying. Actually, I don't think that he was. Yeah. I think it was, unfortunately, just Matthew by himself in his birthday suit playing some bongos in his Austin apartment.
If I was Matthew, I'd like to hang out with myself, too.
I don't think so, but you know that has to be a common denominator between the two. Yeah. You know, like, hey man, let's just go burn one real quick.
Just curious, how do I chime in? Because you guys talk so much.
You've just got to come in.
My window?
Nope.
And there's no window to crawl through.
No, you've just got to blaze trails.
You just gotta jump in.
Maybe we'll get you a bongo.
All right.
And is Matthew McConaughey and Woody
related?
So that's the...
It's a common misconception, I want to say.
Well, that's one thing that they both did to themselves. So apparently Matthew McConaughey was on something and he said, you know, my mom hasn't actually come out and said, you know, hey, Woody, you do know that I knew your father.
Oh.
And Woody was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, no, like I knew him, your father.
Right.
And so then there was like this whole thing where it was like, they were like, are we related? Like, is there like a way that, you know, whatever. But they're his, which is really funny. And it speaks to West Texas though, too, that it's like, it's so small out there. And, you know, just with generational stuff, it's like, I knew him.
Sure. Well, and it's funny, like him speaking of that, you know, in the day of 23andMe and Ancestry and things like that, we're in a different era. But Woody chooses not to participate, like, in 2025 culture. And I've seen interviews with him. Number one, he doesn't own a phone. Uh-huh. Like his wife does. And that's another thing. Him and his wife have been together for a very long time. They're one of the few Hollywood couples that, I mean, just have lasted a long time. But yeah, he notoriously doesn't own a phone, doesn't email, doesn't text.
Yeah.
If he is...
But he does own an island.
Well, there you go.
Maui? They're in Maui, aren't they? Yeah.
I don't blame him. I mean, and I've also... I want to say in that same interview, I saw him say... or they were saying about him that if he's on a project, on a set or something, he may or may not show up.
Like, really?
He's just, or like if they've, it's just kind of, it's all Woody time.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Melissa's on Melissa time a lot of times.
Yeah. It happens, you know?
No, but it's interesting, his choices there. And I think it's worth talking about.
I saw something the other day. Like I said, I love the man. Like, I think he's hysterical. Like, love the stuff that he's in. I just dig his vibe, and I love the fact that he's from West Texas. I mean, just the whole package. But it was so damn funny because the other day it kind of went viral, I guess you would say. But there was a girl that stopped Darius Rucker, and because she noticed him, you know, the front man for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, hey, can I get a photo with you? And she hands her phone over to whoever Darius was with. So the guy snaps a photo of her and Darius, and then he turns around to take a selfie, and it's Woody fucking Harrelson. She nice. Didn't know who he was.
She's like, hey, you.
Hey, can you take this picture?
I'm sure he loved that.
Dude, I would have died. I mean, I would have absolutely died.
I'm sure he
I might have had to hand
that.
My phone over to Darius and been like, can you snap this, please? Can you get out of the way?
God, I can't imagine. Well, and he, even though... You know, kind of back to him campaigning for the legalization of marijuana and different things that he's passionate about. As much as he kind of stays out of the public eye and doesn't really participate in the whole Hollywood scene.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
He has, and this is in our next fact, when he's passionate about something, he steps up to the plate.
Sure.
In a big way. Mm-hmm. And right now it's advocating for the filming in Texas. Woody has long supported the Texas film industry and has called for better incentives to keep productions in the state. He has expressed frustration about films moving to states like Georgia or Louisiana for tax reasons, even when the story is about Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually, and Lonesome Dove, we were talking about, wasn't that shot in like Arizona or, so it wasn't even shot here, I don't think.
No.
We'll have to check that.
Yeah. Pretty sure a lot of it was, but.
But yes, and that is something certainly in the headlines right now, it's huge. And actors that have a lot of strength, like Woody, Matthew McConaughey, Dennis Quaid, those are the ones showing up in Austin now, really campaigning for Texas to have
they
that.
Are. And you know what? I feel like that has raised a little bit of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people that aren't educating themselves on what they're actually standing for and what they're trying to do have taken this entire, you know, stance on don't California or Texas.
Yes.
And so it's interesting because
are you okay, Milan?
Yeah. Are you sure?
It's good. I'm just going back to the cowboy hat.
But so, yeah, I think that what they're doing is incredible. And I think that you're right. I think that once he gets into something, he's an advocate for it.
Oh, he's
and
down,
so
yeah.
I
stand behind him on this one, all of them in that regard. I think it's...
And I think it comes at the same time with the popularity of Taylor Sheridan's shows and a lot of their filming going on here. A lot of it in North Texas, right in our backyard.
Yeah.
As listeners that follow us on Instagram might have seen that Milan was with Billy Bob just the other day.
Yeah.
Hanging out in front of our office.
Yeah, I know.
Because they were scouting and filming just right down southwest of Fort Worth.
Yeah, but there was one stat that I read that was... I believe that it was, you know, kind of along these lines of bringing, you know, more of these types of filming opportunities into Texas. And there was something about, you know, over the past 18 years. So this has kind of been something that's, I think, been slowly developing. But over the past 18 years, it's brought like $2.32 billion to our economy. And it's also, you know, created over 180,000 jobs.
Sure.
So I respect what they're doing. You know, I think that the people that are meeting them with, you know, hesitation or anger need to do some reading up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, when you get, I think maybe on the other end of that, the fear is like, for example, in California right now, it's just so expensive to film. Every piece of the film
Everything in California is expensive.
From the set.
Not trying to talk shit, Milan.
You know, and
I don't live there anymore.
Well, and I know he knows a great deal about this too, but every piece of it, like if they have to use any kind of local resources, whether it's transportation or police force or firemen or whatever. And in Texas, we're still it's kind of the Wild West in that in that phase of it right now, where a lot of our, you know, it's pretty inexpensive. You know, if you want to come to a little town and do your set there, we don't charge you a ton. And if you need our fire chief to show up, he'll totally come, and the mayor to cut a ribbon, whatever, you know, like we'll do it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think there's some Texans that just like don't want to lose that charm, like that part of it.
For me too, I will say that there is a part of it that I don't want us to lose that either. You know, I think that for me,
or be taken advantage of.
Yeah, exactly. But I, you know, I will be completely honest. Like I love traveling to California. I think I'm going at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always so beautiful and so wonderful. But as a Texan, I do look at a lot of the things, you know, that are from or out of California, what they're dealing with, and that needs to stay there. And so there is a lot of that where it's like, I get it. Like there is an initial, you know, knee-jerk reaction where it's like, don't bring that shit here.
Right.
So, but yeah, because that...
But clearly, if there's advocates like Woody standing up for it, I think that certainly the benefits outweigh...
I do, too.
...the risk.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go. Yeah. Okay. Break. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
At Trevo Creative, that's Trevo, we're a full-service marketing agency that makes your business look good and get noticed. We believe every brand has a unique story to tell. We make sure you look good, sound good, and have the perfect script. Visit TrevoCreative.com to learn more about how we can turn bold ideas into unforgettable brands. What is your story?
All right, welcome back. So we're going to go over a fact or fiction with Woody Harrelson. All right. Woody Harrelson was once banned from Saturday Night Live for hosting the show while high.
I can't imagine they would ban you for that.
If that didn't happen to him, I would be sorely disappointed. I hope that's true.
I'm going to say false.
So while Woody has been very Woody on set, there's no record of a ban. He's hosted multiple times without incident, just chaos.
Okay. Because I will say that I was watching some highlights of him opening up the show. And last night, I mean, it was, I mean, he was having a good time in the green room before he took that stage. I can tell you that. I mean, I was like, damn it.
Tommy couldn't see in there.
You know? Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There had to be a little bit of a haze. They probably had to throw a towel, like, under the door so the smoke didn't hit the hall.
All right.
So you got a drink. You got it wrong.
Oh, shit. I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. I'm like way losing this game. So I'm going to remind you.
Okay.
And just so you know, I didn't record myself on that. So I'm back.
Mm.
See, that's why I've got to get a camera on me all the time. You know,
we'll do
it.
I'll talk to producers on that one. Okay.
I'll talk to HR.
HR.
All right, so Woody is a strict vegan and won't wear leather or wool.
I'm going to say that that is absolutely true.
Same.
I have a story. So apparently in, what is it, Zombieland that he's in, his character, like one of the, he's just like this, he's crazy over Twinkies. And so they've had to make a faux Twinkie that is vegan for Woody.
That's funny.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
You said the zombie.
Isn't it zombie?
Yeah, it's where that, where they come up upon that hostess truck that was turned over.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm actually surprised that that Twinkies aren't vegan, to tell you the truth, because like Oreos are, and I can't imagine there's a whole lot of natural food in a Twinkie.
Oreos were. Oh, I just learned something new today.
Yeah, my youngest sister person, remember the vegan? She's a family vegan. Yeah. And actually, when she had a baby and started breastfeeding, I was like, now, does that count?
Right.
Yeah. You are an animal. And she was like,
good job.
I know. I just like to mess with her.
But you know what? I think this goes back to the thing with that we were talking about earlier, you know, in the episode, is that like when he goes all in on something. Yeah. And I think that's really true.
I mean, yeah,
like,
I agree. I think
stuff,
it's true.
The marijuana stuff, you know, clearly his love for his wife and family. I mean, like he's, you know, I mean, he damn near was a preacher. So, you know, there's that too. So, yeah.
That too. In fact, he's been a longtime vegan and eco-conscious consumer. Even costume fittings, he insists on animal-free materials.
Oh, good for Woody.
Yeah.
I love that.
Woody.
I do too.
I do.
All right, let's do one more. We don't have to drink because we got it right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He once climbed the Golden Gate Bridge to protest logging.
I believe that.
I don't.
I think, I'm going to go, yeah, true.
All right.
Yeah.
Fact.
What?
In 1996.
He's all in, man.
Woody scaled the bridge with activists to
hang a banner.
This
shit makes me love him more.
Protesting redwood tree logging. That's some eco-activism with attitude.
Do you want to say that over
altitude,
again?
Yes.
Activism with altitude.
I gotta use simple words for me. Okay.
We're writing a book, Activism with Altitude.
God, why do you have to say it?
Say it so easily.
Right?
Yes. Good luck there, Milan.
Well, yeah, no, I did believe that was true. So you got to drink again.
Okay, let me say it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tongue twister for me.
I know, I thought that whole thing was funny.
Fact. In 1996, Woody scaled the bridge with activists. That's an eco-activism. I can't say it.
I'm sorry.
I can't say it.
I can't keep my shit together right now.
It's okay.
Activism.
You don't have to.
Activism. I can't say the word. Move on.
Altitude activism.
Altitude activism. See, when it's all together, I can't say it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's a little tongue twister.
That might be my favorite part of the whole fucking week. I'm just saying.
You can't use any of that.
Yes, we can.
No.
Be better if I put it in Espanol.
Probably.
No problema.
This is going to be a running joke on the show of Milan can't say words.
Hashtag.
Fucking A.
Altitude activism.
Activism with altitude.
That's
my new hashtag. You know, there's a Breaking Bad episode where Jesse, the character, he couldn't say a certain word.
You
remember that?
I recall that, yes.
And they did like 85 takes.
I don't know, Mr. White. Do you think that this will really work? I can't say that right. This will really work. Try it. This will really work. This will. I can't say it. I can't do it. I don't know, Mr. White. Do you think that was... I had it that time. That this will really work. Listen to that. I got it. Okay.
This is that scene. That's some eco-activism with altitude.
It's the closest you've gotten.
Okay. We're going to keep going. That is some... I'm getting a cramp.
He has physical pain from the word.
He's cramping a thigh because he can't say it.
No.
get a little Charlie
this
horse.
This is terrible.
You need to eat a banana. let's just wrap up.
This is some eco activism altitude.
Nailed it. Listeners, we'd love to hear some of your favorite tongue twisters. And we hope you get higher and higher with us. And
like Woody.
Like Woody. Be more like Woody. And show up and stand for what you believe in.
Here's to Woody, man. And here's to Milan.
Here's to Milan. Cheers.
That was the best try of anything I've ever heard in my life.
Like, why get awarded that way?
I think it's, and you know the irony here is I think it's bad to the bone. I'm like, if you fucking wrote those words,
I didn't.
That's
I
mean, my badass. And then now we can't say them.
Gather around, y'all. We're ready to share a Texas-sized story that's beyond compare.